4321. You are listening to Punk News. You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 649.55. You say, John, I thought I was supposed to be 650 by now. Well, apparently you haven't been listening to the Punk News Podcast for the past 649 episodes. Because as you know, the landmarks, we always push it back to an arbitrary number. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm sorry. There's nothing you can do about it. M. Moore, yes. What's happening?
There are two really, really big crickets around, and they're really cool. And I'm trying to give them names. That's the excitement. Yes, they're best friends. That's what I've decided.
Are you thinking like biblical names or like J.R.R. Tolkien names or?
Yeah, let's like, hobbit like her up and a like bit.
Nancy or something or Sid and Nancy. How about Sid and Nancy?
No, I don't want them to be doomed.
Frodo and Bilbo.
Oh my God, one could be Tom Bombadil.
Oh, fair enough. Well, Frodo lives.
That's true. Well, yeah.
There you go.
Frodo lives. Spoiler alert.
You know, I was thinking about Lord of the Rings just yesterday. I was thinking about Lord of the Rings yesterday because I saw Steve Ignorant of Crass and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who they really should got to pay Gandalf was Penny Rimbaud. Penny Rimbaud looks exactly like Gandalf.
He would have been perfect. That would have been so fun. See, like, this is why.
I mean, he.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
No, he would have been so fun. He would have been cool. He kind of gives me like Radagast vibes too, though.
Do you think he would have accepted the role and like did it? Like, he'd be like, why, Lord of the Rings is delightful English literature. Or do you think he would like try to subvert it and like totally mess it up or change it? What do you think, Penny Rimbaud? Because you can never really peg. Like, anytime you think you have Penny Rimbaud pegged down, he wiggles out from under the nail that you set him under. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You'd be like, Penny Rimbaud, I bet you hate cops. He's like, no, I love cops. Most of them think they're doing the right thing. They're just being misdirected by the system. I love everyone. It's like, damn, you know, I saw Steve Ignorant Duff's Crass last night,
yeah.
And it was awesome.
Nice.
And the opening band, All Torn Up, which is led by Joey Steele, so he's like, we all hate cops here. Everyone that hates cops, clap your hands or whatever. And I'm like, you haven't been listening to Penny, have you? Because Penny doesn't hate anybody. He even said he loves Donald Trump. He just thinks he's a product of his system and has been like misdirected by force. I think that's giving a little bit too much credit to Donald Trump. Actually, I shouldn't say I should say Penny says he loves Donald Trump. I don't put that anymore. But he did say he loves cops. And he just feels that they are a product of the system in which they've been put in. And most of them think they're doing a good job, even though they're really just supporting the status quo. That's Penny Rimbaud. So anyway, the point being is, I don't know if he would do a great Gandalf or a terrible Gandalf.
He'd do an interesting Gandalf. And I think that's all you can ask for. Yes.
I think we should film it ASAP because I think it would be totally awesome. Also, and more, I saw Glenn Danzig on Friday night in Atlantic City.
Ooh,
and Emor, it was amazing. It was absolutely. He did all of Danzig one out of order, I think, for like show cadence, you know. Then he did half of Danzig two and about a third of Danzig three.
Oh wow!
And the band was amazing. It was a Steve Zing of Sam. I think people forget that Steve Zing is the original member of Samhain. So really, when you go see Danzig now, it's actually more Samhain than it is Danzig. Because it's two out of the four original Samhain members and only one out of the four the original Danzig members. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
On guitar was Tommy Victor of Prong, who's been with Danzig a long time now. And on drums was, I think, a guy called Cluiftos or something. It wasn't John Kelly. It was some newer guy. But the band sounded awesome. But even more so, Danzig sounded. I mean, you know, his voice has been a little blown out here and there. And it sometimes it's real good and sometimes it's kind of, you know, damaged. I would bet that he's been doing vocal training because he sounded amazing. It was the guy from 1988 M. It was tied for the best show I've seen this year, and it is definitely the best time I've seen Danzig. As much as I love the all, Danzig does all Samhain show where he did almost every single Danzig Samhain track, he did off Samhain one, off Samhain two, and half of Samhain three. I think this is by and including the Misfit shows, which I liked a lot. I love the Philly Misfit show. But like this was really a magical evening where he was just on fire. He sounded great. The band was great. I really hope he releases a live album. He won't because he's dancing and he rarely gives you exactly what you want. But man, and more, it was awesome.
That's so cool. What's it tied with for top show of the year?
Oh, come on, M. Dwarves, Summer Soiree 6. Come on.
course.
Bosho's top notch, and also Steve Englehart does all crass almost up there, except for the band was awesome, but the sound quality was not that great. And I actually kind of wish they'd done it in a if they did it in a very, very DIY venue, which is cool. But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, I kind of wish they kind of did it with people that know what they were doing sound wise, because it was kind of a muddy sound, but what can you do?
Oh, sure. Well, it adds to the
So
punk
anyway.
vibe.
So anyway, Em, we're already behind on schedule, and we've got a lot to
Yes.
talk about. So we're gonna whip through some stuff here, and we got a lot, honestly, we got a lot of big stories this week, a lot of big
So
stories. So
many.
maybe we won't get
Yeah.
to them all, but we'll try.
Sounds good.
So this is yet again, there is chaos in the world of Crow. Cro-Mags very much are in Buddhism, what's the word for balance in Buddhism, or balance in Hinduism, or whatever. Whatever, like, the Cro-Mags really are part of the cosmic wheel. Whenever all the chaos gets settled, it erupts yet again, and the cycle begins anew. Of course, as the listeners know, John Joseph and Harley Flanagan have been fighting over the name Cro-Mags for 30 years. Harley finally got the exclusive rights to the name Cro-Mags about a year and a half ago. And it seemed like that was it. Harley's going to be in the Cro-Mags, and that's that. Well, this week, actually, Cro-Mags played Maryland, and I almost went to the show, except for I went to see Steve Englehart instead, which I'm not sorry I did, because I've seen Cro-Mags, and they're awesome live, but Steve comes to America like once every 10 years, and I think it's probably going to be the last time. So anyways, they were playing a show in Maryland with DRI, and Harley posted a statement that said they were sitting at a zine asked for permission to come to, not permission, they wanted to come to the show to cover it. And so they gave them three passes to the show, which, M, how come everyone's always getting all these press passes and we never get any press passes ever? What's up with that?
Maybe we don't ask nicely enough. Maybe we need to
yet again,
add more pleases.
Well, honestly, it's that we have more – no, it's the opposite, actually. It's that we have class and we try not to be moochers. And everyone
that's
else
true.
Is a moocher and no one cares. I mean, that's what it is, you know.
Well, yeah, if it's
so,
like a
so anyways,
$15 show,
so,
like.
I know. We don't ask again for free. And honestly, I'm not complaining. Like, it's kind of not cool to ask again for free to a $15 show. If a band offers it, that's one thing. But to
Oh,
ask
totally.
For a $15 show, it's like, you know. So anyways, so these three people from the zine wanted to come to the show. So they did. And then Harley said, one of them said Harley – One of the Harley said one of them accused Harley of sexual assault, and then they attacked Harley and his son with knives and mace and sprayed him in the face, and Harley got cut. And indeed, Harley showed a picture of him getting cut. The next day, it turned out that the zine was this magazine called Destroy Zine. And also the people that attacked Harley were wearing balaclavas or ski masks. So the next day, Destroy Zine, which is today, posted, or actually late last night, they posted their own statement, and they put this long, long-winded thing, and let's see. So they said that. Well, they said the Cro-Mags offer us press passes over Instagram, which honestly, like puts me off to begin with, because I'm sure Cro-Mags didn't email Destroy Zine and say, "Do you guys want press passes?" That's not how it works, you know. So I guess they reached out to Cro-Mags, and then the Cro-Mags offered it or whatever. Come to the show, and they set up their own merch station at the Cro-Mag show, DRI show, which is weird. And then here's what they said. They say people start coming to check out what we have for sale and asking us about the prices for things. As a kid is purchasing a patch from our table, Harley Flanagan of the Cro-Mags walks up to us and starts asking about the art on our magazine cover. He then slapped our female's editor thighs multiple times and said to her, "Yeah, you better close those legs, little girl. You're sucking me in." And then apparently, like, according to them, Harley was bothering them all night long. And then they said that they weren't clear as to – basically, I think they even admitted to, like, pulling out the mace and knives. And then there was kind of a scuffle, and they got kicked out, and they said – that Harley's a bad guy and they're real good. And then Harley issued another statement that says, "None of that is true. That's not what happened, and I'm pressing charges." I gotta say, man, I guess we will, or maybe we won't find out what happened. I've interviewed Harley a bunch of times, and I've spoken to you a bunch of times. And I mean, I'm not like friends with him. I'm probably friendly with him. I like Harley. And I gotta say, I don't buy the Destroy Zine account. For one thing, they have several lies in here that are easily disprovable. I mean, I'm not saying Harley was necessarily a saint, but what I'm saying is, A, off the bat, they're kind of lying. They're saying Cro-Mags offered us press passes, which is not true, I think. I think they asked for press passes and Cro-Mags gave it to them. They're saying that Harley slapped their female editor's thighs and say, "Yeah, you better close those legs, little girl. You're sucking me in." No, I wasn't there, but that's not how Harley talks. Like, I have trouble believing Harley would do something like that. That's just not his. I'm not saying Harley hasn't been a tough guy before or started scuffles before, but in my experience, he wouldn't do it like that. That's just not his modus operandi. And what really annoyed me at the end is they said Harley is a proud Nazi. But he's not a not proud Nazi. He actually addresses it in his book, and it's well known that he was the first or one of the first NYC skinheads. Skinheads are not Nazis, especially then. And also he's part Cuban, which he's talked about many times, and he might even be part black or Afro-Cuban. So he's not a, I mean, he's definitely not a Nazi. He's got multiple black people in his band. He's had Jewish people in his band. I think he even had a Jewish black person in his band. So he's not a Nazi. And I think they're just throwing out anything they can to kind of attack him. And honestly, like, to lie about Nazism, to lie about sexual assault, I think is very low. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know for a fact, but what I'm saying is I don't really buy the account of Destroy Zine at all, just because, A, Harley's not a Nazi, and to bring that up when it isn't related to anything says to me that they can't actually rely on the truth that they're trying to cloud it. Also, the initial thing about the Cro-Mags asking if they want to come to the show, which is not something that it's just not how it works. And also, like the way they describe Harley behaving, I've been around Harley not a ton, but a fair amount. I've interviewed him. I've been at him. I've seen him at many shows. I never have seen him react like a quote tough guy in that fashion or a weird guy. I'm just not buying it. Also, I'll point out that the alleged victim here hasn't posted a statement or I mean. Not that she has to necessarily, but I'm just saying is I don't I think the Destroy Zine account is very, very slanted. Harley's might be as well, but I'm not buying the Destroy Zine thing, particularly because like what kind of person comes to a show and sets up their own merch table? It seems to me like they were aching just to cause trouble. That's what it seems like to me. And more I don't know what your stance, Em.
There is so much going on in this. Like, it
There
is
is.
ridiculous because it's okay. Well, the Destroy Magazine, they mention like some guy posting on Facebook and whatever. And on their Instagram, they have like the screenshot of the guy posting on Facebook that he's like bragging about beating people up or whatever. But
Yeah,
the
but
screenshot is
that guy
just,
isn't in the Cro-Mag. Some guy.
yeah.
It's
So
just some guy, you know what I mean?
I don't, again, I obviously wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I don't know any member of the band in any sort of way. Like, I don't have a very wide knowledge of the Cro-Mags. But like having someone touch you at shows and be really, really creepy is extremely uncomfortable in a really, really bad situation. And like regardless
I
of
agree with
who's
that
doing it,
100%.
and that can escalate quickly because I know if I'm in that situation, I have stuff on me to defend myself. And it's like, hey, like fuck off. Like, you know. So it could have been something like that that got turned into a fight. That's sorry.
I agree. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I agree that no one should ever be touched against their consent at a show or anywhere, really.
Yeah.
And I agree that if someone did like slap someone's thighs, that is beyond the pale and is not cool and is very lame and might be sexual assault, you know, or assault. It is assault by
Yes.
definition. But I don't believe the account of the guy that posted this thing. I mean, is it possible that Harley did that? Yes. Do I believe that Harley did it with the facts that we have here? That's just that not Harley is not, Harley's a very intelligent, kind of classy guy, frankly. And he doesn't go around like slapping women's asses. That's not his MO. That is the MO of some other guys in the hardcore scene. But I really just don't see Harley doing anything like that. Now, I'm glad that a police investigation is open. Oh, and also I'll point out that if women carry things to defend themselves, sure. But here, the guys had mace and knives. And it's like, what kind of guy comes to a hardcore show with weapons when they're there to interview a band? So I'm really, I'm their story. Like, I've interviewed many, 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 many bands, hundreds, maybe thousands. I've never brought a weapon with me as a man, you know? And
Oh, right.
so when you bring a, and it is different for women, you know, women, especially at hardcore shows, which can be not women friendly. I like to think it's better now than it used to be, but it still can be gnarly. But these guys brought knives and mace in a duffel bag with them. Who does that at a show, particularly at a show with a band like Cro-Mags and DRI, which are physical bands where things can kind of escalate? I'm just not buying it. You know what I mean? I'm very happy that a police matter has been opened. And I'm very interested to see what becomes of it. I think, and I don't know for sure, I think Harley's going to be proven correct and being more truthful here than these guys in Destroy Magazine for sure.
I'm just
That's my
so
perspective.
confused by the whole thing. Like, just so confused. Because it's who do you believe? What do you, because I haven't, the only video that I saw of the like the fight incident was on the Destroyed Mag's Instagram, and it's like slowed down and like kind of distorted, and it's very clear that someone's, you know, being like there's a fight
See,
going on, but I don't
like,
know
see,
who's involved in the fight.
right. Well, you don't see Harley hitting anybody, or you don't see any of the Cro-Mags hitting anybody. I'll also add that, like, if this really was a serious matter, that like they like slowed it down and put sound effects behind it. Like, if it was a really serious matter, you wouldn't do that. If you're trying to cloud what actually happened, you might do something like that. I'm not buying Destroyed Magazine story. We'll see. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. But as of right now, I'm backing Harley on this one. We'll see. So let's see here.
Don't catch
Oh, here's
people at
something kind of cool.
shows.
M. Moore,
Yes.
that's true. M. Moore touts about Twin Temple, who I just saw open for Danzig.
Wait, how are they alive? I must know.
Awesome. Awesome. Really, really good. However, someone in the comment section said it was the guy from Black Lips.
It's
Is he the
not.
guy from Black Lips?
I'm pretty sure he's
Oh, so what are
not.
they talking about?
I think they
I don't
look
think he
similar.
is.
I don't think they're the same person.
And guess how much they were charging for meet and greet, though, which really kind of, or photo op. It really kind of blew me
Photo
away.
up. Were they doing like the
Like, if
blood
you want
and
to take a
stuff?
picture with them.
Oh, like there wasn't any special
Well,
effects.
no, they had. No, they actually kind of had, like, this is the first time I've ever seen, I've seen, like, where you pay to get signatures or whatever, but they
Yeah.
actually had, like, a whole set that was kind of, like, spooky that you would go on and get, like, a photo op with them.
$50?
150 bucks.
Holy shit, that's steep. Well, I mean, if you
Yeah, I was surprised that they,
Oof.
I was surprised that they would be able to pull that in that kind of money, but there were people doing it. So, but actually, it's funny, funnily enough. Em, you ever seen the movie Clerks?
Yes.
On Friday night, I was selling records, and I was across from all the clerks, including Kevin Smith and Jay Mews and
Oh,
Dante and
shit.
Randall and all the clerks. And people were like paying like big bucks for signatures, so that was kind of amusing.
That's
Also,
really
Dante and
cool.
Randall, very nice guy, very nice guys, very nice guys.
Nice. Did you meet Kevin Smith?
I saw him. I didn't meet him. He like because like it's crazy like how demand his signature. Like I would pay for a signature for anybody, but people were into it and do it fine, whatever. But like the demand for his signature was crazy. Crazy. So they have him off in his own little tent, essentially, so you can't see him because I guess it'd be like a mob rush if like people could actually see him or something. I don't know.
Step
So anyway, tell
behind
us
the
about Twin
curtain.
Temple, Em.
Yeah, they've released a new song with the title Be a Slut. So it's more great satanic doo-wop. They have that really cool old like 50s, 60s kind of ensemble filter on their stuff, so it sounds really old, but in a modern way, you know. It's like you turned on an old radio and it has really good sound quality. And yeah, it's great. Like the song's in line with their other songs. Like it kind of continues on with the lyrical themes of I'm a witch, which is just kind of like, you know, doing what you want to do and being like obviously very sex positive and all this kind of stuff. And they're using like slut, which has been used to slam a lot of people, especially women who behave not as society wants them to. So then it's like, you know, they're labeled and they're shamed and all this bad shit happens because people love to hurl words and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So they're reclaiming that and being like, well, no, it's a good thing because you're doing what you want to do, you're doing it how you want to do it, and, you know, kind of like, who cares about what anyone else thinks? You're doing it for yourself. So great message. And yeah, this is off their upcoming album, God Is Dead. So I'm really looking forward to the album. I really liked their first one, which was Twin Temple present their signature sound of satanic doo-wop. And then the singles they've been releasing have been really good. So I'm super stoked. And again, like they'd be so cool to see live. John, what did you make of this song? And did you see it live?
I think they played live. They were real good live. I dig the song. I dig the whole thing about them. I will say like people diss on Danzig, but he, I mean, he really, I think, is coming back around in that like he's dismissing all the criticism in that like the opening bands were Midnight, who are like a thrash band, Twin
Okay.
Temple, and then Behemoth, all which are like three very different bands, but they all kind of have a similar vibe that connects through Danzig, which was real cool. I will say though, Evermore, Behemoth, are you a fan?
I used to really like Behemoth, and then I kind of moved away from it because I found other black metal that I liked better. Were they good?
Yeah, I got it. Like, people, I mean, they were good, but people always talk about Behemoth like they're the ultimate darkness and like this band really, you know,
No.
understands the dark or whatever. Like it was like guar or almost like opera. Like they had so many costume changes and they had so many like moves they did on stage and they had this huge stage backdrop from an art standpoint or like a opera standpoint or even a guar standpoint. I enjoyed it. But it wasn't like scary. It was almost a little too over the top. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
people were blown away by that. Don't get me wrong, but it was almost like cartoonish. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not
Oh,
sure if I'm
yeah.
actually supposed to take this seriously, or if it's supposed to be like a movie. You know what I mean? And so I was Behemoth wasn't what I thought they were going to be, Frank. Like I thought they were going to be like Celtic Frost, but even more so, or even like a death metal band. But it's more like opera or that band Ghost, or like I said, guar, that we wear costumes and we strike poses. And I thought it was a little silly, honestly. So I don't know.
I want to see Behemoth on one stage, Ghost on the other, and then they do like a battle of the bands. I think that'd be really funny.
I think Behemoth would win. I think Behemoth would win.
Not putting any money on Ghost?
Pussy. No, I'm not a good no I'm definitely not but he's a band I'm putting money on. Pussy Riot, they're going on tour. They're actually going on a kind of a long tour all of November, a bunch of December, and they're playing a New Year's Eve show in San Francisco with who? The Dwarves, which is throwing a lot of people off, which I enjoy. Interestingly enough, I guess one of the main Pussy Riot members, what's her name here,
Nadia.
Nadia Tola Kaneva, who actually was one of the ones that was in jail, she's not going to be there. She says, for transparency, so none of you rioters is surprised, I'm not part of the Riot Days tour. It's a theatrical show about our punk prayer story based on Mash's prison memoir. I spend quiet work days in my geo-anonymous art studio focusing on creating a new body of conceptual political art work for exhibitions in 2023 to 2025. I play shows and appear in public extremely rarely, but loudly. A, I can't blame her for not being there because Putin definitely is making people disappear. I don't know if they live in Russia anymore. They probably don't, which I don't blame them, because Putin is definitely making people disappear a lot these days. And so I can't blame her for not being in the thing. I wonder, is she not going for safety reasons, or just because they're not getting along, or just because she doesn't feel like it. That'd be interesting to know. I will say Nadi is uber punk. She's about as punk as it gets because she's been in jail for criticizing Russia and beat the rap. Or then she took the rap and weathered the storm. I will say, though, her statement is a little pretentious, but I'll let it slide. I spend quiet work days in my geo-anonymous art studio focusing on creating a new body of conceptual political art. Can you just say I'm working on my art? You know, so, but whatever, it's cool, man. I think it's super rad that dwarves are playing with them. I think it's going to blow a bunch of people's minds. I probably will go see, they're playing the Arbor Music Hall, which is a rather small venue, only about maybe 400 people. So I'll probably go to that. That'll be kind of cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah, like their stage show is going to be just super sick. The book is called Words Will Break Cement, written by Masha Gessen, and it is. It is such a good book. It's so interesting. It dives into their like what happened with the punk prayer, kind of the inception of Pussy Riot before that, the reaction to that, what happened with during the Sochi Olympics, and then their trials, how everything like that went along, and then deals with obviously like their imprisonment in the work camps and stuff. And I think that maybe Nadia is not involved in this because of the subject matter, because they released a mixtape last year or the year before, and she had a song on that called Panic Attack, and she had a statement released along with it that was like, it's been however many, you know, years since this has happened, but I still wake up in the night with like night terrors, I have panic attacks, like thinking about this stuff. So that might play a part into it. Again, I don't know, but just you know, kind of inferring. The artwork stuff she's been doing is really cool, and yeah, exactly, like super super punk. Some of the openers for this tour too are just like nuts. Like there's Pink Shift, Thick, and Death Valley Girls, who all, just from what I've seen of their live shows, are really really good, like online. I'd love to see them. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see them. They are playing Toronto, and I really hope I'm able to. But again, I'm not sure. So they're just super cool. It's going to be a great show regardless.
Indeed. Scal has released a remix of Psychic Dance Routine by Nuevo Testamento. And usually when there's a dance remix of rock tunes, it's usually absolutely horrible. Here, it's freaking great. Like, this is really, really good. I wish they released a 12-inch EP, a 12-inch single, or even a 7-inch single. This remix is freaking awesome. And did you enjoy this remix? I thought it was actually, like, super fantastic, to tell you the truth.
I thought it was so good. I didn't know what to expect going into it, because it's, like, almost double the length of the original song. So it's kind of like, oh, no. You know, have they kind of taking it in a different direction and all this, but no, like it's super great. It's very dancey. It like pays tribute to the original song and also builds on it. It's really good. Like, this is how you do a remix. Like, it rocks. It's great.
It definitely. Let's play that, and we will be right back. And that was the remix, Scal, Psychic's Dance Routine. And you know, Scal, everyone's like, Scal, 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 Scal. Do you think Scal is running the risk of kind of being too much everywhere?
I don't think so. I think they're taking their moment, and they're like seizing it with both hands, and they're going to make the most out of it. And I think after, because I believe they're on tour right now, I think after this they might just kind of take a bit of a break and then be right back, sort of thing. I have that vibe, because a lot of songs on Psychic Dance Routine are about dealing with kind of like the pressures that come with fame and doing all the shows and stuff. Like there's a line in which one, it's stared at the pavement so hard I got schizophrenia, and stuff, which is about like waiting between shows and stuff. So I think they're making the most of it now, and I think we're going to see them take a break in the future, recharge, and then come back even stronger. Do you think they're running the risk?
Yeah. I think they're running the risk, but I think if they do this tour and then, disappear for a hot minute and then come back, I think they might be able to cement themselves as a permanent band as opposed to a band that everyone loves right now, which is always a difficult step, you know.
Right.
I remember about a month ago, people were like saying they were an industry plant.
Oh
And I'm
my
like, this band is
God.
not an industry plant. This band was playing like Santa Cruz, like the VA Hall, which I've been to many times, to like 20 people. So they're not an industry plant. What they
Yeah, no.
do have is they've made a lot of smart moves and that they definitely have management and a booking agent. So that's not the same as an industry plant. Are they strictly DIY? No, but they're not an industry plant. They're a band that has a kind of moved up the steps, if you will, of a band's, I don't know, appeal or spread, which is not, some bands are like, we're going to be DIY forever and that's it, which is cool, but that's not the only path. So like I said, is the band's definitely not an industry plant. Are they growing into perhaps a commercial band as opposed to a DIY band? Yes, but if you want to live on music, if you want to make your living from music, you have to do that. There's no other option, and there's certainly worse things to do than that. So, that's just my comment on that. Speaking of a band that's not overexposed, Paint It Black, they're releasing their first album in like 10 years, or maybe even like their first material in 10 years, because they put out three EPs after their last album, which was New Lexicon. The new album is called Famine, and it's, I think, 8 or 9 songs. I interviewed Dan Yemner. I think that's going to run tomorrow. The lead track
Nice.
is Paint It Blacky, and it sounds like Paint It Black, and it sounds real good. I have slightly mixed feelings on Painted Black, but overall I like them a lot, and they're real good, and that's that. I don't know. And did you dig Painted Black Famine?
I liked the song. I'm gonna definitely check out the album. I like Paint It Black. I just haven't done a full deep dive into it. It's just like a couple songs here or there that I really like. So I do need to kind of revisit the whole discography. I like this song a lot though. So looking forward to the album. Looking forward to reading your interview. That'll be cool. See what the story behind Famine is, what
Do
all
you
the
think
secrets are.
Get Better Records, who was putting out Open Cities album a month before this comes out, are totally bummed out? Because honestly, this steals a lot of steam from Open City. Because Open, I mean, I, you know, a lot of people like Open City. It'll be tough
Yeah,
to find someone that likes Open City more than Paint It Black, though. You know what I mean? So in a
that's true.
way, if I was Get Better, I'd be like, Dan, come on, man. Like, I can't, you haven't put out an album in 10 years. Give me 6 months. So
City's so good. I'm looking forward to that album too. Well, yeah, it was funny because like when Paint It Black announced the album, I thought it was going to be on Get Better Records because of Open City, just for some reason. So I was kind of surprised when it wasn't. But I think they'll find a way. Something will happen.
Well, I'm just saying is I think it kind of steals some of the thunder. It is hilarious that Open City hasn't put out an album for 6 years. Paint It
Yeah.
Black, let's see. Paint It Black hasn't put out an album. Let's see here. And Paint It Black hasn't put out an album in 15 years. They put out EPs at 10 years ago.
Ah,
And then all of a sudden,
got
you get two albums within 1 month. It's like, thanks, man. Thanks a
it.
lot. I really appreciate that. Like, thanks. But hey, man, listen. But see, M, that's the other side of DIY. If this was a corporate band, they would have structured it better and kind of spread things out. And I'm not saying one way is better than the other. I'm just saying these are the two sides of the coin in the music world, if you will.
Yes.
But yeah. Okay, well, here's another story that is not a cool story, but it kind of closes a
No.
chapter. So as the listeners definitely know, Anti-Flag essentially broke up, I guess it was about a month ago now, Em, when
Yeah.
the Enough podcast posted a story saying that this Justin Sane, which I still can't believe a grown man calls himself that, Justin Sane was sexually inappropriate with younger women for a number of years. Rolling Stone put, at the time, the other members of Anti-Flag were like, well, we know Justin and we don't think this is real, so we're gonna, well, actually they didn't say that. They said, we basically, they had the most wishy-washy statement ever. They're like, sexual assault is serious. We know Justin and we think he's a good guy. We'll see. That was essentially their
Yeah, it was
statement.
terrible.
And then Rolling Stone put out a statement, I mean, a big expose, where
Yeah.
12 more women said Justin Sane sexually assaulted them or sexually inappropriate, or however you want to phrase it. And so then the Pat, Chris One, and Chris Two of Anti-Flag then issued a statement that said, Justin's a bad guy and he needs help, and we stand with sexual assault survivors, and go to hell, Justin. And they basically said Anti-Flag is definitely over forever, which was pretty clear.
Yeah.
This does lead. I mean, like, I know when we were discussing the first time around, I was like, well, I don't have a horse in the race. This seems real, but you know, I don't like to convict someone before they get their day in court or wherever. But here it was totally on target. Like everything that they said appears to be true. You know. Which does underscore how prevalent sexual assault still is in the music scene and everywhere, frankly. So I don't know, Em. I guess everyone's big question is did Pat, Chris One, and Chris Two know about this, and they were just kind of trying to cover their ass, or are they truly caught by surprise and they didn't know Justin Sane was being so inappropriate, and this statement is genuine? What do you think, Em?
Well, like in situations like this, because it has been like one after another, you know, in recent years. And that's great to see, because it's so good to see people come forward and share their stories and everything. Like my opinion in these things is like, believe survivors and then see what happens kind of thing, because no one has a good reason to lie about sexual assault. So if someone's coming forward and saying it, they are telling the truth in the majority of cases, the overwhelmingly majority of cases. So it's tough when a band that was like, oh yeah, we're very outspoken about like sexual assault is wrong and all this kind of stuff, and then to have the lead singer, kind of the face of the band, if you will, come out and, you know, be a terrible, terrible person and a predator. You know, like that's definitely jarring. But again, we've seen that in the past, and it makes you wonder, like, do they put on these like facades of, oh, we believe in these things to direct attention away from their behaviors? Again, who knows? The statement that the other three members released, definitely stronger than their first statement. And it really makes me wonder how much they knew. Because with the first statement, it kind of seemed like they might have known some stuff and were just kind of like, well, we have to come out with a statement. This might be, you know, like, again, like you said, it was just really wishy-washy. This one is definitely more definitive, but I still have so many questions. Like, I have questions about, like, okay, did they know? If they did know, did they try to stop anything? If they did know, did they help with these things? You know, like, there's questions that way, and it's, well, if they did know, would that, I don't know. You know, it's a tough thing to try to, you know, like infer, like how much culpability do the three have? Because it's obvious that Justin is guilty and like just has committed terrible, terrible, terrible acts. And I hope the survivors find peace and are able to get support and work through this. But as for the other three, I don't really know what to make of the statement. It's more well written than their first one. It's more definitive than their first one, which is good. But I don't know. Find it hard to believe parts of it.
Yeah, people are like, well, how could you not know your band member was doing this? Your bandmate was doing this. You know, you spend every minute together, and that's true and it's not true. In of a band of a certain size, you're with each other every minute except for when you're not. And so it's like if you're in the same tour van or even the same tour bus, you know what's going on. But on the other hand, once you get above a certain size, and Anti-Flag is actually a pretty big band. But once you get above a certain size, then it can be like you don't know each other at all. Like, for example, this is an extreme example, but Brian Jones, not Brian Jones, who's the singer of AC/DC? Not Brian Jones,
Johnson.
Brian Johnson. He was fired from AC/DC for a year and he didn't even know it. You know what I mean? And so it's
Right.
like when bands get to a certain size, sometimes it's strictly business, and often they hate each other. I can think of a certain punk rock icon band where all the members make a lot of side project music because they hate each other, and you know who I'm talking about. And they don't even know, like, they speak to each other like once a year, and so it's possible that they didn't know it. Is it probable? I don't know. There's really no way we can say. So I don't know, man. I don't really care about anti-flag, but it's sad that I mean, and it's a fact of life. It's sad that women are getting sexually assaulted by dudes in power, or if power's not the right word, dudes with fame or whatever. So it's lame. And I'm glad this band is destroyed because they were, at
Yes.
least one member was being not cool. So I'm glad they're destroyed. So that's that.
100%.
Speaking of a band that has never chased after young women, the Rolling Stones have released a new album, or they're going to release a new album. The new album is called Hackney Diamonds. It's going to be out. It's going to be out. I think I didn't put it, when it's going to be out. Oh, October 20. And it follows their first album of original material, Bigger Bang, from 2005. And it follows their last album, Blue and Lonesome, which was all blues covers from 2016. They put out a video for the song called Angry. Here's my hot takes all around. Hackney Diamonds, I don't know what it is with the Rolling Stones, man. The best band ever, but their album titles are very hit or miss. And did I already do this spiel, the Rolling Stones album titles?
Yes.
I did. Okay,
Yes.
Hackney Diamonds. It's not horrible, but it definitely sounds like it was created in a marketing committee. The song "Angry," they're doing what a lot of bands of this era are doing now, is they got some hot young producer. I forgot his name. Some dick bag. Let me look his name up real quick. Like, he's produced like Beyonce and stuff, so he's kind of like a pop producer. But they bring in some young guy to, like, we're going to reinvigorate the Stones with this young guy, Andrew Watt. Although Don Was, who's been a producer for them for a long time, is also working with them. But Andrew Watt, who's some hot young guy, he's like 25 or something. He's 32, still pretty young. He's produced like Bebe Rexha, Camila Cabello, Rita Ora, 5 Seconds of Summer, Cardi B, Post Malone, Future. I mean, sure, he's a cool guy, whatever, but I just don't know if that translates to rock music, particularly since the last Rolling Stones album, Blue and Lonesome, was so great. It really Blue and Lonesome really was an awesome album. Let me see who produced that real quick. Give me a second. And
Okay.
I'm going back to the Stones. They put out a ton of live albums recently, which is very cool, but I'm going back and oof.
Ooh,
I
live
love
albums.
Give me a second here, Em. I'll pull this up. Here we go. Blue and Lonesome was produced by Don Was, and it was great.
Hey.
And the Stones themselves. This new one. So anyway, the song "Angry," it's an all right song. It's kind of it. It doesn't have the drive, the power, or the hook that I would have hoped a lead single from this album would have. But we'll see. The video, I gotta say, man, I'm not trying to be a prude. I like nice looking girls, man. I love the Dwarves, but the video is just some real good looking model driving around L.A. in a low cut top, like sticking her tongue out at billboards that have the Rolling Stones on them, and they're animated on the billboard. And I'm like, I don't know, man. There's so many things you could do with a Rolling Stone music video. Like if you, I liked how the billboards have the Rolling Stones from the different eras, and sometimes it mixes it up. It would have been more interesting if the video, I mean, the best Rolling Stones videos are just them in a room. Look at Respectable. Look at Girl with Faraway Eyes. Look at Start Me Up. Start Me Up is literally just Mick Jagger in a leotard dancing around the room while the other members just stand there. And it's an incredible video. So if they wanted to, like, merge Stones eras, I think, what if they had a video where, like, the Stones morph in and out of different eras? I think that would have been cool. This video is just some hot girl, like, riding around in a van, I mean, in a convertible, like oscillating to the Stones music. And I think it comes off as a little, I don't know if 25-year-olds are getting turned on by the Rolling Stones. So it almost comes off as kind of creepy old man, to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? There's a way to be an old rocker with dignity and not come across as old. I feel this comes across off as a little old. Like we, and I'm not saying this is the Rolling Stones decision, but whoever came up with the idea for this video, it's like, well, we don't think the Rolling Stones, the greatest band of all time, can carry a video. So let's put a let's objectify a good-looking girl and have her just be a piece of furniture that oscillates while she drives around to LA. And I think it's not the best move. Em, what's your stance?
Okay, when I saw the video, the first thing I thought of was like, holy shit, we're in the 80s. Like, it was very like Video Vixen kind of thing. And like, some of that stuff it can be cool, but like a lot of the stuff is like super exploitive. So I looked it up. She's an
Cringe.
actress. Yeah. She's an actress. She was in like White Lotus and Euphoria and stuff. And her name's Sydney Sweeney. She's obviously very, very attractive, very good looking. But there's no story to the video. And again, I don't think this is on her, but her movements do not match the song whatsoever. The song is very boring. There is not a lot going on in the song. And she's just like, woo, and it's like, that's
You're right.
not
You're right.
fitting.
I hate the dog on the stones. And I think, yeah, I'm gonna be decent, but like she's way too into this song. The song is not that good.
No,
You know.
it is not. And I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't find the Rolling Stones attractive personally, but whatever floats your boat, whatever gets the engine going. Yeehaw, maybe she was having a good time. I don't know. But I do wish there was like a story to the video or something that just didn't seem like boobs,
Yeah, right. I actually agree with you. I like now that you go back, like the Dwarves have definitely albums, music videos with good looking girls, but there's always more to it than just here's a good looking girl. Like this video is just look at this hot chick. Wow. You know, like it's like the Stones, the greatest rock band of all time, who can be and often are very artistic. I feel this falls short. And I hate to diss on the Stones, but I'm not gonna do like a thing where like, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
The fan, the 4-star fan, oh, it's not the best, but it's still great. It's all right. The song is all right. I'm hoping Yama's cool. The video, not one of their best videos. One last thing I do want to mention, M,
Yes.
Off,
Off.
of course, as the listeners, more attractive young men, that all the young ladies love, Keith Morris, a very handsome man.
Oh, yes.
Off self-destructed a few years ago, and Jeff McDonald and Mario Rubalcaba left the band. And there's been, I guess, some info has come out about what happened exactly. I have a feeling a lot more is going to come out very soon when a certain interview with the Melvins comes out of Punk News celebrating the Melvins' 40th
Ooh.
anniversary and Steve McDonald joining the band. I feel we might get some more information there. However, in the meantime, Autry Fulbright and Justin Brown join the band. And so that's kind of off Mark II, and Off released their fourth album, which was called what's it? Oh, Free LSD, of course.
Yeah.
And it was fairly different than Off. I mean, it's Off, but it was more chaotic, different than Off. However, a very surprise announcement was posted today. For at least two shows, Mario Rubalcaba will be drumming in Off. That's October 27 in San Diego and October 26 at Hermosa Beach. Of course, Hermosa Beach is where Black Flag is from originally. And wait, Hermosa Beach? Right? Is that where Black Flag's from? Hermosa Beach?
That's where Keith
No.
Morris is from.
Where's Black Flag? Huntington Beach? Black Flag's Huntington Beach. Keith Morris is Hermosa Beach. You're right.
Yeah.
And so anyways, and I gotta say, their statement was not super clear. I'm gonna read the off statement right here as soon as I pull it on up, and then we'll wrap up this show. So I'm a little under the weather and my voice is failing me, but I'm going to keep talking to wrap this on up.
You can do
Here's their
it.
statement. Look out, SoCal. Look out, SoCal. It's OG Mario's return to Off, and they left two tour dates. And then they were totally mum. M, is Mario back in the band full time or just for 2 days?
Ooh.
You know what I mean? You think they'd be like
Yeah.
Mario's filling in for Justin for a couple of shows, and that'll be fun. Or you think they'd be like Mario's back permanently? You know, it's kind of and when people ask questions on the Instagram, you think they'd respond, but they are not. Em, what do you think's going on?
We have a mystery on our hands, John.
We do.
It is a mystery. Oh, I don't know. I think there's going to be some sort of announcement at one of the shows that's going to reveal all, but also reveal nothing. I think they're going to keep it as kind of like a case-by-case basis. I think they're going to play out the mystery of it. I kind of have that feeling. I don't know why, I just do. I don't think we're going to get a definitive answer.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think it's going to be like one of those things where, like, as the shows progress, like they might have different people in there, or if it's always Mario, like it'll just
Yeah.
be kind of like maybe they're feeling like this is pure speculation. Maybe the drummer, Justin, the drummer, like he got in a big fight with them, and so they don't want to say Mario, you're back with us, because you know, there was some bad feelings between Mario and Off and Steven and Off, you know.
Right.
And so maybe they're feeling it and they don't know, you know what I mean? And of course there are a few genres that are as gossipy as punk rock. So maybe they don't want to be like Justin's out of the band and people be like, what happened? What happened? What happened? Maybe they're just trying to keep that down low because they don't really get anything out of that gossip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyways, Mario's a great drummer. I wish Steven was still in the
Oh, yeah.
band. But he's in Melvins, which is awesome. I wish he could do both, but as readers of my upcoming Giant Melvins piece may learn, maybe it's not possible. We'll see. And more, anything else you want to discuss, address, and also check this out. So I'm going to go see Billy Idol for the first time ever this Saturday. It's at
Oh,
the
nice.
WMMR Barbecue. The WMMR Barbecue is 93.3 Philadelphia Rock Station's their annual big show. Vixen 77 also opening the show, which I'm very excited about. But check this out, and more.
Nice.
Billy
Yes.
Idol 8 to no, I'm sorry, 7:40 to 8:40, 1 hour. A little short, but what are you going to do? Then Shinedown 9:10 to 10:50. How the hell is
What?
Shinedown headlining over Billy Idol? Shinedown. In a way, I'm glad because that means I can jet
That's
early, you know. But I
that's
mean,
funny.
I'd rather have an hour and a half of Billy Idol than freaking Shinedown. Shinedown. What the hell is that?
Haven't heard that
Shinedown.
name in so long. Maybe they'll do a crossover. Maybe they're gonna release a co-op album or something.
Maybe, honestly, I've had this happen a few times recently. Is I used to always assume that every band wants to be the headliner, and but sometimes bands don't want to be the headliners. I think we had this discussion briefly a little while ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
Basically, it's so anyways, like it's easier, you get out earlier. But also, I heard a phrase kind of recently is it a headline slot or is it a cleanup slot? You know, which is two totally different things when you think about it. But an hour and a half is Shinedown. I mean, who likes Shine? Like, does Shinedown have fans? like,
Do they have that many songs?
they've
How many
got one,
albums do
two,
they
three,
have?
four, five, six, seven, 8 albums, man. I don't know who's
You're
buying them.
kidding. Oh my God, that's a lot.
So anyway, that's kind of wacky. But at least I get out. I would have liked to have an hour and a half of Billy Idol because in an hour, I'm just gonna get the hits and nothing else. Maybe not even any Generation X. But listen, at least I get to see Billy Idol for like $20. So that's kind of cool, you know.
That's a win. Yeah, that'll be neat.
So, M, anything else you want the listeners
Yes.
to know to think about, to contemplate, or to do before next week?
Three things. First of all, no matter where you are, but especially, well, yeah, just no matter where you are, don't touch people without their consent. Number two, if you have been sexually assaulted or you know somebody who needs support, there are supports available. Go talk to somebody, get the support you need. You're not alone. And three, I have a really cool interview up on Punk News right now with James McHenry of Blind Equation, where we talk about their awesome new album, Death Awaits. So go listen to that, get some good cyber grind going in your ear holes, and find out which lemon lime pop reigns supreme. The answer may surprise you.
Shinedown's last album, Planet Zero, topped the all-genre Billboard top album sales when it came out in July 1st, 2022.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. People love the
Oh
Shine Down.
my God. I
Shine
didn't know they
Down.
had such a following. I learn
I
something new every day.
I'm almost tempted to stick around to see if people actually dig it, but I just don't care, Em. I don't
You
care.
should stay for like
Em,
one song. Give them one song.
maybe, but that, I mean, that cuts like a half hour out of my time. You know what I mean? 'Cause I gotta wait for the setup and you know.
But then you'll
Anyway, Em,
see.
what's then I'll know. Em,
Yeah.
what song should we wrap this on up with?
We should wrap it up with, let's do the new Twin Temple song because people on Punk News hated it and I really like
Always a good reason to play something. This is Twin
it.
Temple. Maybe we'll be doing episode 650 next week. We'll see how I feel on Monday. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. This is Twin Temple.